Tonight we're going to talk and we're going to end the 8-tape series on Jesus and the anointing. This is tape number 44,000, number 8, Jesus and the anointing. Now it's very important for you to understand what the anointing is. That's why I call right now, 619-296-1206 from 8 to 5. And you can call 619-239-9281. We'd like to invite you to church on Thursday night at 7 o'clock at 2130 Market Street. Or you can come and worship with us on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for Spanish, 11 a.m. for English, and 1 a.m. We'd love to have you. God bless you. We're going to talk today about Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. Go with me in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19. Now, we want to lay a foundation because we want to know why demons torment us or try to torment us. Why we have problems with alcohol, drugs, perversion, why people get divorced, why does the devil attack the family? His job is to attack the family because he's after our unity. He's after our agreement. He's after our family because he wants to stop the power of unity. There's power in unity. Very important for you to understand that. Now in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19, we're talking about the anointing. The Bible said, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now we were talking about, over the last 6 months, we were talking about perversion. Why America is in trouble. America is in trouble because the family foundation, the core foundation of the family has been aborted. The devil has attacked the core of the family, and what he has done, he has destroyed the unity in the family so that there won't be strength in the family, there won't be love, and because see, love multiplies just like hatred. So if he can get us to be disobedient, disobedience will multiply. So as we walk in love and obedience to our parents, obedience will multiply. And it'll increase. It says righteousness will exalt a nation. And that's why we see today in the land that there's unrighteousness flowing through the streets. We got many denominations, many types of churches, but there's few people that'll just put their religion or their denomination on the shelf and come together and worship and say, come on, we're going to seek Jesus, not a denomination, not a religion, not nobody getting any glory. We're just going to seek Jesus and we're going to ask him to help us to love one another. Now God says if you are willing and obedient, you can eat the fat of the land. Now as I begin to pray, God began to deal with me about Absalom. In your life, as you go through life, ladies and gentlemen, you will always deal with people with a nature of Absalom. Absalom is a nature of pride, rebellion, vanity, treachery, betrayal, seduction, self-promotion, self-exaltation, self-destruction, death, works in ministries and in churches to undermine authority, to grab the authority, to get the attention off of God's word and back onto their earthly, sensual, devilish nature. And this is why people, when you share with them about servants and employees, you say, now, okay, this is your job description. You can tell that person something 50 times, but if they don't have a heart to research and to grow, to do their job, even if you're not paying them what they want to be paid, but they love to do the job, what will happen? It'll go in one ear and out the other. Because their heart didn't catch it. And this is what this is talking about. You see, when you're working for one mission, I was sharing with some people today, I said, my goal is to work for Jesus. I said, if Jesus ain't in it, I don't want to have nothing to do with it. I said, because it ain't from God. I said, Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What church is he talking about? He's talking about your character. See, the church we know is a building, but God is talking about our character, our integrity, our emotions, our feelings about one another. That's the church. You are the church. You are the body of Christ. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's what God is talking about. But he talks about the nature of Absalom. He's talking about the nature of Absalom being aborted. And this nature comes from generation of natures. It comes from generation curses that were put on families that disobeyed God, and they carried this nature into the body of Christ to abhor the anointing. So God began to deal with me about some strategic areas of character that he began to talk to me about, and he began to share with me. I was sharing with this elder, and he was talking to me about business, and he was talking to me about, you know, how businesses grow. That's right. Call right now, 619-239-9281. Prayer counselors are standing by. We will call you back. If you don't get a prayer counselor, we'll call you back, and we will minister directly to you. One lady called and really blessed me, and she said, you know, it would sound like you were talking directly to me. And I just thank God that the Holy Spirit is using this vessel to talk directly to you, to strengthen you and to set you free, and to set you into a place, a mindset, where you are eager and hungering after the things of God. Because the Bible said, if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of its righteousness, then, and then, God always puts the word then, say that with me, then, there's always a then. You can always remember the things of the past then. And we're talking about the things of the future now. He said, then all these things shall be added unto you. There is a law called the law of increase. This law goes into motion as you begin to obey God. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Another devourer is called the gates of hell. This spirit has the law and has the power to devour your crops, to bind you up in prison, into emotional prison, mental prison, spiritual prison, when you're not obedient toward God. So when you walk in obedience, God begins to heal you. He then turns on the spirit to heal. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for God hath anointed me to preach the gospel unto the poor. Now, first of all, he has to put the word inside of you. Pay attention, Gloria. He has to put the word inside of you. Pay attention, Elizabeth. He has to put the word inside of you so you can pay attention and be obedient. Really, the reason why children are disobedient is because their parents don't make them pay attention to the Bible. You see, the Bible said, the word have I hid in my heart that I would not sin against God. This is how the devil takes our attention and gets us to wander around and do everything else, because he doesn't want us to capture the scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, if you ever capture the scripture, the Bible says that you will speak to the mountain and the mountain will obey you. Ladies and gentlemen, many of us speak to our mountains in life, but they never obey us, because we're speaking from emotion. We're speaking from destructive mental attitude, something with a failure mentality. But when we begin to speak with a mentality that we are more than a conqueror, and that God has set us upon this rock, God has set us there. Not we're there because we're talented, or we're rich, or we're handsome, or we're beautiful, but God put us on that rock. And he said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's a gate I'm talking about called the blood covering gate. Now, I begin to seek God about the covenant of God. It stems from marriage. If you ever see two people that are in love, that will stick together through storms, through tests, through trials, through all kinds of things, and they come out and they still love each other. Well, they may have one little room, but they still love each other. The kids may not have new clothes, but they love each other. I've learned, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter how rich you are. It matters how rich you are in love. That's the most important thing. Many people come to church, but they don't even know each other. They shake hands with the person, they go right outside, but they never get to know the person inside the church. Well, let me tell you what Jesus did. Jesus was intimate with his disciples, with his people. He wanted to get to know them. He wanted to let them know. He understood that they had doubted him, because he wanted them to know that he was willing, even though they doubted him, He was willing to extend a hand to them to help them to understand him. You see, doubt comes from misunderstanding. Many people get in strife and arguments and all kinds of things because there is misunderstanding. But God just dealt with me today. He said, he was dealing with me about authority. Go with me in the name of Jesus to Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, please. Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. God's dealing with me about authority. Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. Now, ladies and gentlemen, start with me in verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. Now, this man represented somebody, let's say, in the army, the navy, the marines, or the air force. Okay? And saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of palsy, grieveth, and tormented. Now, listen to me. Here goes a man that is in the armed services that knows authority, that knows how to wake up in the morning. He wakes up in the morning, he goes to his job. He goes to his job and salutes people that are of a higher rank. He knows how to carry out orders. He knows his job description. Not something that he wants to do, but something that he was ordered to do. This is how Jesus carried out so much authority and power, but it's because he came not in his own power, nor in his own authority, but he came under the authority of the Holy Spirit. Now, here goes a man in the armed services. He understands what it is to be under authority. He goes into service. He understands his work, his job. He understands also how to carry out instructions, rules, regulations, ordinances. Look those words up. Those words are strategic for your mental and emotional development with God also and your surrounding, people that you're involved with on a daily basis. Obedience, obeying authority, obeying rules, obeying instructions, obeying the manual. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there's a manual for your body. There's a manual for your spirit. It's right there. A lot of people will read the Bible, but as far as them practicing the manual book, they'll take some of it. They'll say, oh, praise the Lord. I go to church, but I will still want to be a devil. Okay, on Sunday morning, man, they got the manual out, and it's just like a mechanic only doing car mechanic on Sunday. But through the week, he out smoking weed or he out partying. But everybody know you're a good mechanic now. But your good mechanic can never be a good mechanic if he drinking. How do you ever know a drunk mechanic? You know you're a good mechanic, but you ain't gonna trust him with your car though. Come back, all the parts is missing. But hey, what happened to my parts? He got so drunk, the parts just disappeared. Why? Because he had no manual. He didn't respect the manual that said put each part and label it. That way you know how to come back to it and put it in its right place. And that's what happens in our spiritual walk, ladies and gentlemen. God told you to put your life, your emotions in his hands. Put your faith in his hands. Put your eyes in him. Put your heart in him. What we do, no, we put it on the bank. We put it on our wife, our husband, our kids. And then what we do, we're drawn away by our own emotions or lust and enticed. And the Bible said, then cometh sin. Why? Because the Bible said, guard your affections, for out of it flows the issues of life. Now, we're dealing with a lot of different issues. Eviction, no money, the parents are sick, the dog is sick, your husband is sick. We're dealing with a lot of grievous issues, but God said, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. But when we do, we base the issues on our emotions, on how we feel, or how you feel today. First thing we do, we wake up in the morning, how you feel. No, it ain't how you feel. It got nothing to do with feelings. God said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What is he talking about? If you don't understand the scripture, you think he's talking about Mary Poppins, or popcorn, or Catholic churches, or Pentecostal churches. He ain't talking about no kind of church. He said, upon this rock. What rock was he talking about? Him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No one can come to the Father but by me. Now, any issue you're dealing with, you need to come to Jesus. And you need to find out the way he did it. To find out the way he thought about it. Find out the way he wrote the rule book to instruct you in order to maintain that type of lifestyle. If you want to walk in a heavenly lifestyle, you got to know how to walk in the manual. You got to know what the manual says to have this type of lifestyle. If you want to have a financial heavenly lifestyle, you need to know how to maintain one. You need to know what the rule book says. Am I making sense? Come on, can I get an amen? Glory to God. It looks like y'all just, I just kicked your bowl out from under you. Glory to God. Watch this. Now, we know that Jesus worked miracles, and he had the gift of faith to heal people, right? Jesus didn't go around healing people because he didn't believe. Did Jesus doubt in himself? No. He believed that what he had, he could use it. Say, use it. A lot of people got something, but they don't know how to use it. I'll give you a prime example. Some people got a car. I'm just giving you a prime example. But if you go to the city of San Diego and get you a license, you could take that same car and become a taxi cab and rent it out and drive folks around and make money, right? So we know that your car is not just a car, it's licensed. Amen? You see what I'm saying? Now, don't we get a drift? So we know when the heavens opened up, Jesus heard a voice. Now, we know that he didn't hear any type of voice. You know, many people hear voices. You ever see some people in the streets hear voices? They be like this. You know you don't go around those people and befriend them, talking about, come on, let's go to my house. We're going to hang out together. You know they got demons of schizophrenia. And you know that if you don't have the manual for schizophrenia, you will be afraid and you'll stay away from those crazy people. So we ain't talking about them, right? We're talking about people that can hear from God, they can receive thoughts and sounds from peace and from God. We know we're talking about those type of people, right? Now watch this. The centurion was talking about those type of people too. So when the centurion says, I'm a man under authority, he's talking about, he understands hearing from God. He wasn't just saying, Jesus, you're a man under authority. He wasn't saying that. He was saying, Jesus, I understand that people told you what to do before you came down here. That's why you can do the things you can do. Jesus couldn't just go out and, let's say this guy had a brain tumor, he just said be healed. Jesus couldn't do that unless somebody told him to do that. See, there was a rule book in heaven that gave Jesus the authority to talk about brain tumors, cancers, AIDS, blindness. You understand? There's a rule book. Where's the rule book come from? It comes from heaven. The Bible said God took man from the depths of the earth and breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. The Bible says when he became a living soul, his eyes opened up. Amen? So we know that the law to make your eyes open is called the law of the living soul. That's what God said. He breathed upon him, and he breathed the breath of life. And the breath of life. So this is what this man was talking about. This man knew that the breath of life came from God. And that Jesus had the authority to release it. Glory to God. That's right. That's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about the anointing that was upon Jesus. Now, many people heard about the anointing, but they don't know what the anointing. I didn't even know what it meant until I looked it up. The word anointing, listen. If I said to you, Brian, listen to this. I'm going to show you how accurate what I'm saying. Brian, go in the back, turn the computer on, and then run them cameras and run the editing bay for me. Brian said, what you talking about? Right? I can pull some of y'all out of the audience and say, Sister So-and-so, go back there and run the editing bay. You will say, I don't know what that is. But if I sit there for a couple days with you and show you the buttons, how it works, you'll say, man, that's easy. I can do that. Like Errol, I could never type. He used to sit there and be typing 20, 40, 50. Errol could not type until I met him. And I put him through school, and now I could type 100 words a minute. Man, he could do things with Linux and C++ and C++, what's that, you know? But he was like, it's nothing to him, though. Or let's talk about a pharmacist.
A pharmacist know how to mix the medicine and give you the right antidote. You got the shit for. A pharmacist can give you some medicine. You in there? Now you walk into the pharmacist doctor's office. You like, you sick and coughing. She's the doctor. Write you a prescription. Give it to the pharmacist. You take the medicine. You feel better. That's what this book is. That's what the Word of God is. The Word of God is the prescription. The doctor was Jesus. This is what the man under authority was talking about. He said, I'm a man under authority. I understand authority. Doctors got authority. Doctors are licensed by the bar, so by the, what's that thing called? The medical association, right? To write prescriptions. Watch. The first thing the pharmacist is going to do, he's going to check and see if you have a license to write that prescription. I don't care. You can call yourself Dr. So-and-so all you want. But if you ain't got no license from the medical association, they ain't going to fulfill that prescription. The Holy Ghost ain't going to heal nobody until you've been licensed by God. That's why many people praying for the sick talking about, they ain't nothing working. They ain't been licensed by the medical association of heaven. But when you're licensed by the medical association, you know how to put that word together. You could pray for somebody, they got blind eyes, they can't even see. All of a sudden you put your hands on their eyes because you're doing it in the name of Jesus. You're doing it with the doctor's prescription. Now watch this. Now, this is what this Syrian soldier is saying. Do we come some light on it, y'all? Let's read it again. And Jesus was entering into Capernaum, and there was a certain centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick. Now, he was talking to Jesus as if Jesus was a doctor. Say a doctor. Now, he wasn't talking to Jesus as if Jesus was a prophet. He was recognizing that Jesus was a divine doctor. Look at it differently. Don't look at it as Jesus being a savior. Look at it as Jesus being a doctor. How many people in this room got faith in the doctor? The doctor can tell you got AIDS, gonna die. You believe it, you go and tell everybody I'm gonna die. I got 3 weeks to live. You be crying too. He could be done took somebody else's blood, switch bloods on you, but you'll believe it because the doctor told you. He could be lying out his butt. Amen. But you believe it because he's a medical doctor. You know why you don't believe Jesus? Because you didn't see him. And most of y'all don't even talk to him. But y'all sit down here just like this. Watch this. Y'all go down there. Y'all pay $150, $250. Lay down on the psychologist's table and tell him all your problems. What's wrong with you, Brian? Well, I'm depressed. I'm going to give you a prescription. All right. How much a prescription going to cost? $10,000, no problem. I just want to get rid of this depression. What else wrong with you? Oh, I can't sleep at night. And I can't sleep at night. I don't know what to do. I just can't sleep. What's the antidote? Oh, I'm going to give you some more medicine. Okay, please give me that medicine. Next day you come in. How you doing, brother? I feel great. That medicine got me sleeping. I can't even get up in the morning. You take that medicine. Now watch this. But Jesus will tell you to pray. That's too simple. Pray. Study the Bible. No, I can't do that. I don't understand it. But you're going to get a man that went to school for 8 years don't know what he's talking about. May give you the wrong antidote, but you'll believe it. You know why? Because society puts more faith in man than they do God. And then when somebody comes along like Jesus and got the power of God, they think, uh-oh, what is that? That's weird. No other preacher is doing that. Amen. God wants to use every man and woman of God to heal the sick. Cast out devils. You don't need no pharmacist. You don't need no doctor. You don't need no psychiatrist. Jesus said that he went about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. Now, oppression from the devil means somebody that has a spirit of schizophrenia. Somebody that has two minds. They can't even tell the truth. They always want to say two or three things. I've noticed people that got problem with demons, you can't have a peaceful conversation with them. They thrive off of attention. You got to watch people that are oppressed with schizophrenia. In this hour, this is why
the man raped the little girl and murdered her. When you are possessed with a spirit of schizophrenia, the spirit of perversion takes over. Listen to me very carefully. It produces an image and a character and a personality to murder, to molest, to kill brutally. It's a violent spirit. And it takes on the form of a body. See, demons need bodies to carry out their character and their attitude. And so we're seeing things today in this hour, gross things that we don't understand. We're saying, why do you do that? But America is looking for answers. But they won't go to the pastor to get it. They'll go to the psychic. You know, if say for instance, a little baby got killed, or a little baby got disappeared, a little baby got, let's say, kidnapped. Well, they'll go to the psychic talking about, can you tell us where the baby went? Because it's easy, a psychic is easier to understand than the scripture. Because the scripture will make you wait on God. Without seeing, without feeling nothing, without sometimes not even believing nothing. Sometimes you don't even believe God, but you feel just like a peace. Sometimes God don't even talk. He just give you a peace. And you just feel the presence of the Holy Ghost. You say, I don't know why I'm believing, but I just feel like believing God. I just feel like believing that God is able. God's going to take me through this situation. Because sometimes we want to give up, but we have a peace. We say, no, I have a little hope that something good going to happen. See, all you need is a little glimpse of hope. You don't need a lot of hope. You know what I'm saying? I don't know that. It looked many dark hours I done had. Glory to God. My kids been sick, and I'm thinking, Lord, what do I do? But the Lord began to let me see the still, small voice. And if you don't practice spending quality time with God, you'll get aggravated with people. You'll just blow up. Because you didn't understand tranquility. Tranquility, right? God began to teach me tranquility. Tranquility is the law of... I remember Abraham told me one day, he said, Daddy, will you buy us a fish aquarium? I said, sure, son. I'll buy you a fish aquarium. And I was sitting down on the couch, y'all. I was sitting down just like this. And when he said that, and I began to see this fish aquarium that he talked about. It was like when he said it, y'all, I saw this beautiful, big, like 100 to 200-gallon fish aquarium with all kinds of tropical fish. Have you ever been to SeaWorld? You know why SeaWorld is so beautiful? You can be underneath a tunnel at SeaWorld and see all these beautiful fish swimming in the water. And you look at that, you sit down, and you say, oh, that's awesome. That's the power of a clear mirror. When Jesus is a clear mirror to you, when you can see into what Christ is really saying, tranquility comes. And you can walk through storms. You can walk through walls. You can walk through fire. You can walk through any situation because you got peace. You have tranquility. The Bible calls it the peace like a river in your soul. You begin to see all the tropical paradise of heaven. When that little boy spoke that in my heart, I sat down and I had an awesome peace come over me. And I began to see where God was taking me. God is taking us on a journey. No matter what we're going through in life, God is still taking you on a journey. The way you perceive it will be the outcome of it. And you, I don't care how bad it looks, you just keep saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Pretty soon the devil can't put nothing on you. He says, I don't work on them. I can't get them depressed. I can't get them angry because they just keep saying, praise the Lord. All they'll do is read their Bible and pray and praise God. Don't put that on him. He'll praise the Lord. He'll torment you. See, you can torment the devil in your worship. Glory to God. I've noticed lately, I turn on Alvin Slaughter. And I begin to worship the Lord. And I begin to say, revive us, Lord. Revive us, Lord, by your power and your grace. See, when you begin to worship God, you're telling God to revive you and strengthen you. You're not telling God, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm depressed. No. You revive. You have been resurrected. You have been strengthened into the kingdom of your dear son. Because you got it from your prayers. Listen to this. And saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented. Now, at one side of the mirror, he saw his servant sick. Listen to this. I'm not saying he denied the man was sick. But I'm saying he did not partake of that sickness. He didn't allow that situation to overcome him. Let's go through this now. And say, Lord, my servant lies at home sick and of palsy. Now, you know, palsy is a grievous sickness that you crypt up in a wheelchair. Bring your wheelchair victims down. I saw this great dream that there were thousands of people outside this church, and they were in wheelchairs. And God, as we went and prayed for them, they all got out of the wheelchair, and God healed every one of them. This one lady said something to me, and I knew it was God. She said, I saw you pray for my father, and her father had a stroke, and God healed him. Because God began to make people dream about the anointing that's upon my life. And I want you to know that God is healing you right now as I minister to you, as I minister tranquility to you, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God is setting you free. God is giving you peace. And Jesus says unto him, listen to this, I will come and heal him. Now, if you had a problem and you heard Jesus' honorable voice that said, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to change that situation, you would instantly feel a presence of God that's so awesome you can't even understand it. It's glorious. Man, you know, this church is anointed. Every time I step into this church, I feel full of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, there's something special about this building. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Watch this. And behold, Jesus said, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Now here's a man that understood the law of a physician. He said, speak. Now there is power in words. Now, the doctor, you go to the doctor, you got breast cancer. You go to the doctor, you got arthritis. You go to the doctor, you got kidney failure. You go to the doctor, you got depression. You go to the doctor, and you got torment and anger and bitterness. You go to the doctor, and you have cancer. You go to the doctor, and the doctor says, take chemotherapy. You get under a laser beam for to burn out that cancer. You take chemotherapy. Because the doctor tells you to. But Jesus tells you to pray and to seek his face and turn from your wicked ways. Heal, and he'll heal you. He said, you got to forgive your enemies. I've learned that most people that call this program have unforgiveness. There is a law called unforgiveness. If you have unforgiveness, you are turned over to the tormentors. And the Bible says that God cannot heal you because you have brought a curse upon yourself because of bitterness. And so you must begin to pray for your enemies. Now, here goes a man. How many bosses do you know that will go to Jesus for their employees and pray for them? Not too many. Most bosses are drinking at happy hour. Amen. But here goes a man. This would impress me that this man went to Jesus. He didn't just pray. Because you know how some folks come to church and pray. Lord God, heal them. They ain't serious. Here goes a man that went and sought out some help. Amen? You got to take action. You got to come down here and take action. Hallelujah. Amen. There are thousands of you that have been healed from this program. And you still sitting up and you saying, well, God blessed me. But you know something? You lose your healing because you didn't testify. You didn't glorify God. You didn't come down here and show people that you got healed. You know, when I used to be downtown, I used to pray for blind people, AIDS victims, people in wheelchairs. God used to get them healed. I got to get back on the streets because I've noticed I got to go back to the people. I got to go. I'm trying to go back through television. But I also believe I need to go back on the streets to get connected again with the people. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. Now, it's going to be hard for you to understand authority if you never had people under you. If you had people under you and you were paying their paycheck and they weren't doing their work, it would grieve you. If you had to fight with your employees after you've been paying them good salaries, it would grieve you. But here goes a man that says he's a man under authority. Now, this man under authority must have been an obedient soldier. He must have knew how to. Now, let me tell you something. If you're obedient, the people around you will be obedient. Now, you're also going to encounter Judases. There will always be a Judas in the camp, wanting to do his own thing, wanting to do his own way. And he'll have a demon, what's called Absalom, like we talked about, because he'll want to betray. Because he feels that he's not paid enough, or he justifies his betrayal because this is the nature in him. It's not his fault. He was born like that. It's like a snake. A snake, I don't care how much you charm him. When I was little, I always used to like to watch those Indian guys. They used to take these flutes. You ever watch that? I always watch the Animal Channel. Me and my son watch. And you'll see them Indian guys take them flutes. Now, this got a big python or a big snake coming out the bag. The snake will come out. Cobra, right? Now, you ain't going to stick your hand in that cobra, but you can charm him with that little flute, right? Now, watch. As soon as the guy stops pulling the flute, the snake go back in the hole. Are you going to stick your hand in that hole with that snake? Why? But you got him charmed, he won't bite you. See, a lot of people are under a spell. Hey, shabakatabaha. But as soon as you let that little flute go, put your hand in that bag, they'll bite the hell out of you. And that's, we haven't dealt with the nature of people inside. Oh, we brought them to church. We done told them they saved because they came down to the altar and cried for 5 minutes. But they still got the same nature to be a snake. You know, the Bible says, be wise as a serpent and humble as a dove. So even God tells you to be like a snake. You got to be like a snake to know a snake. You got to be like a fox to know a fox. Hey, you got to know the nature of the devil. Amen. That's why God called David a man after his own heart, because he knew David had a nature to do evil. But he also knew David was correctable. You see, when you do a sinful thing or when you do something wrong, God looks at your motives. God don't look at what you do. God looks at your motives. Why did you do that thing? Now, here goes a man that went to Jesus for healing for his friend. Listen. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and from the west and shall sit down with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Listen, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so faith was in what he said, his intentions of coming to find help for that man. See, when you're out of your way to do something for somebody, God pays attention to that because you got pure motives. See, the reason why the people are not getting healed in this hour because of our motives. Most people are preaching on TV because they want to get some money out of people. Amen. I know people that have made millions, hundreds of millions. We've seen it in the last 5 years. Preachers taking the money and throwing the prayers out in the garbage can. But I want you to know something. Every prayer, every time you call, we call you back. Personally, I call you back, personally. And another thing, I pray for you. I pray, when I get your prayer request, even if you don't send no money, when I open up the mail myself, personally. And I pray for each and every one of the people. I call them back. You know, it's a blessing. Hey, man, keep calling right now, 619-239-9281. I'm going to call you back. If you call, you're going to hear my voice. I'm going to call you back personally because I love you. I care about you. God put this love in my heart for you. Amen. Listen. So be it done unto thee, and his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. How many of us have a sick loved one or a sick friend or a sick husband or wife or a sick child, and we've never received the answer for our prayers? Well, here goes the reason. Let's look today at our motives. How do we treat one another? Well, you pray, but how how do you really, the Bible said if you cannot love those who you see, how can you say that you love God who you cannot see? This is why Jesus don't just come down and sit next to you. He wants to see how you do it blindly. That's called blind faith. Everybody say that, blind faith. Blind faith is knowing that your husband or wife is coming home from work and they're not going to be killed in a car accident. Well, if you got up in the morning and bound the devil before your kids went out to school, ain't nobody going to steal your kids. If you stand in the house at night praying and seeking God instead of running in the bar drinking, hello, your kids ain't going to get molested. Your kids ain't going to get stolen. Hallelujah. What was you doing when your kids got snatched out of the window? No. Let's look at this stuff for a minute. If I came to you and I said, well, three of my kids got snatched out of the window, you say, well, Pastor Brown, where was you? Amen. We got to remember that we have a governing responsibility for our children. Why does Abraham and Samuel want to pray now? Well, because they see that I'm interested in teaching them. Before, I was just sitting in here and just say, sit down, be quiet, come to church, be a good boy. I'm going to take you to McDonald's after you be a good boy. Okay. But they didn't have no governing interest in what I was doing because they didn't feel that I wanted to include them. You see, people can feel when you want to include them in what you're doing. Amen. Glory to God. That's how we bring our kids to school, to church. We want them to be good. What's going to make your kids good? Because you bring them to church? What's going to make them good is how you treat them. Amen. I could tell them in a minute, I'm going to take my belt off and I'm going to spank a tail. They'll say, okay, it'll be good. I don't got to spank them. Because they know that I love them. But they know that. Don't test me. I'll watch them on behind. But they know that daddy loves them. They'll snuggle right up to me. Now, there was a time my little kids didn't even want to hug me. Because I was mad. I was mad at everything. Rawr. But God began to break me. And God began to touch me so I can reach out to my children. And God began to test me. You see, God is going to test you. He's going to see how you treat people when you don't feel good, when you don't have no money, when things ain't going your way, when you feel rejected, when you feel lonely. How do you reach out to people when you're still hurting inside? That's the time to reach out to people. Because that's the time when God is going to refresh you because you refreshed others. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Hebrews 11, verse 1. God began to tell me to build your faith through the anointing. Hebrews 11, verse 1. It's the anointing that makes the difference. It's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Go with me to 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 20. 2 Chronicles verse, chapter 20, verse 20. Now, we're building a foundation that says, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against you. Now, watch this. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. And there arose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tokia. And there went forth Jehoshaphat, stood and said, hear me, O Judea, and in all inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. Listen, so shall you be established. Now, the word established, listen, is the word stabilize. Hallelujah. Now, many storms, when an airplane is up 20, 30,000 feet and there's a storm coming. Watch. The plane, the air pilot must know how to take that plane to a level where there's stability, where there's smooth sailing. That's what you got to do with your prayer life. That's what you got to do when you meditate on the Word. You got to meditate on the Word until you get down in all the areas of instability and stabilize those areas by faith. Now, how do you do that? The Bible says, oh, glory to God, I feel it this night. Glory to God. Glory. Go to Joshua 1:8. Joshua, the mighty man of God. This book of the law, oh, the door, no, verse 6, verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. I was with Moses, I was with Brian, I was with all of you. Listen, so I will be with thee. Say, so I will be with thee. God is with us. Glory to God, hallelujah. Oh, shalabakatabasika. Lord, so I will be with thee. Listen, I will not fail thee. I don't care what you was. God said he'll restore you and make you new and make you whole. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Listen, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Listen, listen. Many people have forsaken you, but I'm telling you, God will not forsake you. Put your faith, put your hand in the hand of the man from still the waters. Glory to God. Y'all going to have me sing it. Put your hands in the hands of the man from Galilee. Oh, glory to God. Oh, shalabaka, shalabaha. Oh, glory. Listen to this. Be strong and of good courage, for unto the people shalt thou divide for an inheritance. The wealth of the wicked is laid for the righteous. Listen, listen, listen. The land which I swear unto thy fathers to give thee, everything that the soles of your feet shall tread upon shall be yours. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Only be thou strong and very courageous. That's why I'm walking through your house. I'm binding them demons, and I'm casting out them demons out of your house in the name of Jesus. And I'm speaking peace to that house in Jesus' name. And I'm speaking healing to that house, deliverance and glory. Hallelujah. That's why when I go off the air, you feel an awesome atmosphere of peace and joy in your house, because it's coming out of me, praise God. I'm charged. Hallelujah. Last night I was just reading the Word and studying the Word. Glory to God. And I feel so good this morning in my soul. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Watch this. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Listen, turn not from it from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Listen, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Listen, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. There's a rule book, the manual, praise God. Here goes the law of increase kicking in. Here goes the law of multiplication kicking in. The Bible says some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Watch this. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Hallelujah. And then thou shalt have good success. Woo! Can I get a witness in the house? Glory to God. I got to read that again. That touched me. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way. Make! Woo! Glory! Thou shalt make thy way, hallelujah, prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen to this. Oh, glory to God. Go to 2 Chronicles 20:20. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. Glory to God. If you believe me right now and sow a seed, that's right. I need your money. That's right. I believe in money. I got here because I got money. Amen. Money is a good thing. It depends what you use it for. Now, here at JCN, we use 100% of your money to give back to the people, to help the people. We've given them cars. We paid their electric bill. We've helped them with housing. We've helped them with food and blankets. Every penny. Millions of dollars have been pouring back into San Diego communities with schools and computers and all types of things, jobs, to build us back into a level where we can receive from God. You see, first of all, you need to understand that God is with you. Somebody got to let you know that God is with you. I want you to know God is with me. 20 years ago, I was sticking needles in my arm, shooting dope and pimping whores. I was a wild man. But Jesus said, come out of that. Come out of that. Now, it took me 20 years to be delivered in my mind. You see, some of us got a mindset. The Bible said, the mind. The Bible said, renew your mind. The reason why most people never talk to God, never reach God, never experience this awesome relationship with God, because they don't renew their mind. The Bible said be renewed in the spirit of your mind. The Bible said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Now, he's talking about your flesh. Your war is not in your flesh. It's in your nature. It's in your nature to be earthly, sensual, and devilish. The Bible said that wisdom is from above is first pure, peaceful, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. When you are a peacemaker, the Bible said, blessed are they that make peace, for they shall be called the children of God. When you begin to make peace with people, when you begin to sow peace, and no matter what people talk about you and say, glory to God, you're a peacemaker. Say, I'm a peacemaker. The Bible says, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. And be, see, when you're a peacemaker, the Bible says in James 3:8, it says, the wisdom is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated. That means it's easy to understand. You can open up your heart to it and intrigue it and relate to it, glory to God. Easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace. See, when you make peace with God tonight, you say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I believe that I'm a sinner, and I believe I want to be washed by the blood of the Lamb. I believe tonight that I want to have peace with God. It doesn't matter what people think about me. Tonight, I want to have peace with God. Tonight, I want to make my peace with God. For no man knows where he's going to die. You got to make peace with God. You got to know where God stands and where you stand with God. You say, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, fill me with this presence of joy and gladness. I haven't been happy in a long time. I've had a lot of broken relationships. And you say, God, I want this peace. You know, I got this little rocking chair on my porch. And I just bought it. And many times at night, I go on that little rocking chair and I just rock. I remember when I was a little boy, I used to have a rocking chair. How many people, when you were little, you like to slide on the what's that thing called? You know, you go to the park and you just swing in the swing. Doesn't it give you a sense of an atmosphere of freedom and an atmosphere of liberty? That's what Jesus wants to do to you. He wants to give you liberty. He wants to fill you with an atmosphere of joy, of serenity, of assurance. Bless God, I want you to know tonight that you can have assurance that you are going to heaven, that God is writing your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He said, what he has said, he will also perform. God is a God that heareth thee. God will hear your prayers if you will humble yourself tonight. You say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm sorry for the way I've treated others. I'm sorry for the way I've treated my family. You see, when you say you're sorry about something, you can't just say you're sorry tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You got to take action. You got to show people. He said the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace. When you start making peace with other people, it doesn't matter what they think about you. It matters how you treat them. I've always watched people the way they interact with others. And I've noticed my greatest challenges are the way I interact with other people. My greatest successes were when I was willing to be quiet and just listen to understand where the people are coming from. I want to know where you're coming from. I believe that God sent me to this city to build a great army. I'm never going to stop. I'm going to keep building it until God fulfills it. God sent me to the city. I just didn't come here. I come from New York. I came to the city to build an army, and I'm going to build it. I don't care if I have to build it with midgets. I'm going to build this army. And the Bible says the gates of hell should not prevail against me. Glory to God. If I got to use little midgets, glory to God. Amen. See, midgets got to be humble. A lot of people make fun of midgets, but you know what? Sometimes small people have more love than big people. Small people may be a little inferior of big people. But I want you to know something. God looks at the heart. God doesn't look at your talents. God looks at the way you treat people. And tonight, as we bow our heads in the presence of the Holy Spirit, I want you to reach out to people that you have wronged and hurt, been jealous of, people that have offended you, and you have never reached out to that person and just put your loving arms around that person. You said, I'm going to love you. I have compassion for you. I want to pray with you. Some things that you think are a wall are really a gateway to success. But as long as you continue to support that wall of confusion and bondage and anger. God cannot bridge the gap of communion and unity. God builds bridges. God doesn't burn bridges. I notice many people have wronged God, but God has always said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Many times I've made mistakes and I figure, wow, well, I wronged God this time. And God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Many times I wanted to give up because I thought, oh man, God can never forgive me for this. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Many of us will forsake people. We'll get away from them because we can't take it no more. But God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes we want something to fit so bad because we want it, but it's not God's will. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You got to wait on God.